It feels good to be home. So for those who don't know, I've been on vacation. And even last week when I wasn't out of town, I wasn't here. Of course, I had to watch every service because I love my home church. But I was watching it online and enjoying everything. But I tell you now, I'm a bit nervous to be back up here because I've only heard about awesome things while I've been gone. Pastor Aaron just crushed it. One of our partners, but also my brother, Dallas, he did a so-so job. It's my brother. What did he expect? Like, no, he did a great job. Last week, Pastor Brent brought the word. And I've been, hey, you got a cat call. Good job, man. And a few of you thought you should send me a message just to say, feel free to stay away longer. I mean, it hurt a little bit. This morning, I came in and found out there was a vote while I was gone. And they've replaced me. So this is my final sermon. Those of you online, I'll start something. No, and here's the thing. I loved being able to be gone. I was with my family. I'm all excited. I'm ready to bring you the word today. But at the same time, I love knowing the quality of individuals that we all get to be a part of here at Navigation Church. So we're going to get right into it. For those watching online, we appreciate you tuning in. Make sure to reach out to us in some sort of social media way. That way we know that you're listening to us and we want to be able to talk back to you. And for everyone else, here's a kind of a question that I'm going to ask you this morning. The question is simply this: is there anything in your life that you believe is true, but there's a chance that it's not actually true? Right? Doesn't that make sense? So, is there a chance that you believe it because you think it's true, but in fact, you're believing something that isn't true at all, and you would probably change it if you found out something was actually wrong, but you found out the truth about it? By the way, this is rampant, like a banana. Ready for this? Banana is not necessarily a fruit, it's an herb. I'll let you Google it. Those online, get it, pop up a second screen. Because the tree in which it grows on doesn't have enough fibers in it, it's actually considered an herb. And by the way, it's not necessarily a fruit, it's a berry. You okay with this so far? Okay. It's actually more of a berry than a strawberry, because a strawberry isn't a berry. But I'm not going on that one. I'll stay right here on this one. You actually eat a fruit, because you can call a banana a fruit, because the USDA called it a fruit. But in fact, it'd be more accurate to call it an herb, more accurate to call it a berry, and eventually you could say that it is a fruit. I have a question. How many, if I would have started off by saying all bananas are fruits, you would have just said yes? But in your mind, you're going, if I can't believe what I've always known about a banana, how can I believe anything in my life? Okay, good. Don't go that far. It's not that big of a deal. Honestly, it isn't. But here's why I kind of want to start off by saying this. There's a chance today I'm going to say some things you think you believe in, but are you willing to let them be challenged? Because possibly what you think you know, you don't actually know to be absolute truth. Because in today's society, I don't think we put a high enough value on truth. And here's what I mean by that. If you look at, you put a picture on the front of a magazine and say, hey, this is a child being taken away from the mother, then you end up finding out that picture from this reputable magazine actually isn't quite factual like they're saying. You hear that all of Hollywood hates Christians, they're liberals, they're progressives, they don't care about God, but then you have Chris Pratt at the MTV Music Awards actually declare the gospel clearer than I have heard it in a long time, and people are continually clapping about that. Wait a second, that doesn't fit my narrative on Hollywood, right? And I'll go ahead and go here for just a minute. All politics. Right now, we currently live in an age where if I don't agree with your politics, it doesn't matter what you say, I'm going to slander it. And I'm not picking a side right here. I'm putting that carte blanche blanket out there. But what happens if the other side is speaking truth? Don't we have to actually accept it? Don't we actually have to process it? Don't we have to actually consider it? Not from the source in which it came from, but the reliability in which it is? And so truth, I view it truth in three different ways. So I've used a banana example, and I'm going to switch on you now. I'm going to use umpires, baseball, because if anybody should use sports analogies, it's me. So these umpires are making sure the field goal goes in. No, I got it. I'm with you on this one. So three umpires, I don't know what was said, but that joke was as good as mine. Three umpires are talking. First umpire says this, balls and strikes. I call it by what they are. Second umpire goes, no, balls and strikes. I call what I see. Third umpire says, balls and strikes, they aren't anything till I say what they are. And so in looking at this, I would say there's three different forms of truth out there. First of all, there's absolute truth. The first umpire, he says, I call what they are what they are. So I got to call them that. So we as Christians, we believe in something called absolute truth. And there's actually this very funny saying out there that says there are no absolute truths. But in fact, the very statement falls in on itself. Because you're saying there's absolutely no truths. Isn't that an absolute statement? Okay, so we believe because of the Bible that we have, the convictions in our life, because of the words of Jesus, we believe in absolute truth. That's actually a biblical way to say it. So we have to look at the world around us and we have to apply the truth that it is, not what the second umpire would say. I call what I see. And it's called relativism. See, we all say we have belief systems until you're in a different environment. Your truth might change. And I'm going to use the most exaggerated example as I can to try to help prove this point, or at least for you to view it. So when it comes to relativism, you could be here right now and say, I'm a Christian, and I don't believe in abortion, period. But then one day, your daughter gets raped, and she's pregnant. In a different situation, do you view that different now? If you do, that's relativism. Because guess what? I don't believe in stealing. And if you go, well, if the zombie apocalypse broke out tomorrow, we would have to loot the... No, that's still stealing. I mean, and by the way, I believe in absolutes, and I don't care if you're a lawmaker. If someone puts it on a piece of paper with a pen, it can still be stealing. So you can't be relative in your truth. Your truth has to be the same everywhere. But then the final guy says, hang on, it's nothing till I say what it is, and that's postmodernism. It's true depending on how you define it. And here's the problem with anything but absolute truths. Everything's always shifting. And if everything's always shifting, you never know where you're going. And actually, pilots, so keep a track with me. I have to pick a plot line eventually. I'm gone from bananas to baseballs. Now we're jumping to pilots. So spatial disorientation is what pilots would call this. When they're flying, so just so you know, a vast majority of pilots, they're not allowed to fly with only their instruments. That's like a higher level of learning that you have to do. So most pilots with smaller planes, private planes, they have to fly if the weather conditions are good, because they always have to be able to spot the, you know, kind of the ground and points on the earth in order for them to know where they're at relative to the ground. But what happens is, and by the way, I'm going to really start preaching this pretty soon, so get excited with me. When you fly into bad weathers or tough times, you lose your points of view and you become getting disoriented. How many have ever heard of JFK Jr.? Do you remember how he died? They actually believe he became upside down in the plane, so when he pulled up to get away from the earth, he went down towards the earth. Because he was so disoriented, because he relied upon him, or I don't want to say he, let me change that up, because I wasn't in the plane with him, obviously. So when you get disoriented and you trust the internal guts and whose side of who you are, you don't know that if you're actually flying correctly anymore. You get disoriented. So what you need to have is a reference point. So the towers, the control towers. What are they called? Are they control towers? Control towers. Yeah. Everybody knows that. So control towers are external, solid points of communication that you can base what you're doing off of and you can trust its reliability. Imagine if the control tower was in the cockpit with you and you needed help. There is no help. So for us, we need to have an external point of reference in order to base our life off of to make sure we know that we're flying true. If not, you're bananas. See, I tied it all back together. You're welcome. This is how you do it. I'm back in the saddle. Okay, so going back to horse references. Okay, so now, okay, I'm going to say something. And first of all, if you are a longtime follower of Christ, you'll probably easily say amen to this. If you're exploring God, if you're here maybe for the first, second, third time, this may come across as harsh and probably the hardest thing you'll ever hear me say from the stage till next week. If you're cynical about who Christ is, this is going to be very offensive to you, okay? But I'm about to say this to you. Here it is. If you believe something in your life that is different than what this says, you're wrong. Okay, I know there's more of you Bible thumpers in here than that, so we'll give it. If there's an area in your life that you are flying, and in turbulent times, things aren't working, and it's opposite to what this is, you are doomed to crash. This is the ultimate book of authority that tells us how to live our life, so I don't get to look at life and say, I'll define that as good, I'll define that as bad. I don't get to look at a life and go, it's good now, but it may be bad later. I get to look at absolute truth to build my life off of, and this absolute control tower that I can bounce things off of, see where I'm flying at. Any place in my life that is opposing to this, opposition to this, I am wrong and this is right. Amen. And here's the thing. I know this is controversial because the church has been asked to change some things in here. There's one problem with that. We didn't write it. And honestly, my sentence structure is so poor. Like, you wouldn't want me to write it anyway. But no, seriously, like, we can go in and change verbiage. We can delete parts, but it doesn't change the way of fact that it's no longer truth then. And so here's why this is so important to where we're at today, because we're going to be studying about the whole armor of God. And the very first thing that it's told for us to put on is the belt or the girdle of truth. If we don't start life out with truth, it doesn't matter where we're headed, it's wrong. And so here's where we're at. We're going to be talking about the full armor of God. Anyone ever hear that phrase before? I know the full armor of God. Oh, man, help me remind this. We got to find this picture if you want to see it. We used to have a basketball team known as the Warriors. And how many ever seen the plastic full armor of God outfit with the helmet and the breastplate and sword? How many? I need a show of hands. I feel like I'm back. Okay, good. My brother and I used to run out on the basketball court. I was going to say field. I was going to say field. I felt that it was wrong, so I was pulling it back. I was like, oh, the umps would hate that. So, and I bet you there's got to be a photo somewhere of me. Okay, we will look for this, and you guys can enjoy it. Oh, great, I'm getting thumbs up. There are. So I will show you the photo of my brother in the full armor of God outfit. So here's where we have. The full armor of God is found in a book called Ephesians. It was written to the church of Ephesus by a guy named Paul. You guys ready? Can I do 5 minutes of history lesson? I mean, it's fantastic, so you'll love it. So in Acts chapter 19, we find that Paul goes to Ephesus. And Paul goes to Ephesus, and revival breaks out. I mean, it's awesome. He kind of sets up camp, and so many people are getting saved. The guys who made idols tried to hurt Paul and kick him out of town because their business went down. It's awesome. Like, Paul's, like, preaching so much. They're like, yay, Jesus, I'm not paying for that. Like, literally the false gods, the business was going down in town. So Paul was there for a few years, set up this awesome ministry. He eventually goes back. He gets arrested. He's sitting in a jail cell surrounded by Roman soldiers, and he writes this letter to the church of Ephesus. And in this letter, it's really important to this armor of God, how it's broken down, because the way it's broken down is going to tell us when it says, therefore. Here's your Bible lesson of the day. Ready? Anytime in the Bible you see the word therefore, you need to go backwards, find out what he just talked about, because going forwards, he's going to tell you how to live therefore on. Okay? So he says the word therefore at the beginning of chapter 6 when we're putting on the full armor of God. So you need to know what the book of Ephesus is all about, or Ephesians. So chapters 1 through 3, Paul's writing about the gospel. and how awesome it is, and how we had God with us. But then a man named Jesus came. Now the church has something called the Holy Spirit, which we still have today. It's God here on earth living with us, coaching us, training us, equipping us to do the lives that we've been called to. But in the gospel, he's also explaining not only what Jesus did for the Jews, but also Gentiles, how you're part of this now. Because at one point it was just Abraham's little group over here, but now it's for everybody. By the way, if you're not a Jew, you're everybody. You should be really excited for the first three chapters of this book, because this includes you in the gospel narrative. So then after that, after he goes through the gospel narrative in chapters 4 through 6, now he's going to tell us how to live in this new kingdom, in God's kingdom, in this good news of Jesus Christ. How is it that we're supposed to live? Because, and this is really important for everyone to hear, if the gospel hasn't changed you, it hasn't saved you. This was predominant in this time, that you could get saved but keep living your life exactly like you always did, because the grace of Jesus Christ covers you. And Paul, in a whole different book, he is going, no, you've got to change, because you change from the inside out. Actually, the truth should be at the core of who you are. So this truth belt wasn't like a belt we have today. It was more like a girdle. How many have a girdle on today? Bad question. I was trying to connect with you. That was the wrong time to do it. I felt it also. So, oh, that was such a funny joke that I can't say out loud. So, yes, you can. Like, I mean, if you push me one bit, I will absolutely let it fly. So this girdle, this belt of truth, covered the core of who you are, because the truth needs to go to the core of who we are. And so this girdle, this truth, now in chapters 4 through 6, he's going, now that you've understood the gospel, now that you have actually understand what Jesus is doing for you, your life needs to start living different, because in living it different, now you're going to become more Christ-like. You can't be what you used to be, because being born again, you have to become a new creation in Christ. So he started going into details like this, like put off lies and put on truth. Like, by the way, if you don't believe in God at all, you like that one, right? Isn't that, like, if you don't believe in Jesus and this thing isn't absolute, but if I told you, man, wouldn't you like to live your life where people put off lies and put on truth all the time? Absolutely. So then he started doing stuff like this. Put off anger and put on peace. And we'd all say yes to that. Put off thieving, put off theft, and put in generosity. As a pastor of a church, I say amen to that. Because in a couple minutes, I'm going to ask you to be generous. And then take off gossip, put on encouragement, take off revenge, put on forgiveness, take off promiscuity, put on self-control. And so throughout this list, now it's starting you to tell you how to live different. And in this list, we start seeing what it looks like to live in the gospel, live in the kingdom, live under the truth of Jesus Christ. And then Paul says, therefore, now that you understand all this, here's what you need to know. You're no longer with the enemy. By the way, we believe in the enemy. If we believe in God, he tells us there's a devil. If we believe in angels, there's demons. If there's good, there's going to be bad. Some people call the yin and the yang. I don't care what you call it, but we here at Navigation Church, as followers of Jesus Christ, we believe there's an enemy seeking to kill you. Actually, it says he's like a lion roaming around, roaring, coming after you. And so, therefore, if you're going to live in the kingdom, if you're going to put off all this bad stuff and put on all this good stuff, you need to know there's someone who won't be for you. So be ready to defend your position. You know, it's so funny, because the armor of God has nothing to do with advancing the kingdom of God. It's about defending your faith. So the very first step that you need to know is there's truth that you need to gird the core of who you are. You need to put it around you, and you need to live according to this truth. And actually, the scripture says this, Ephesians 6:4. So I only have one scripture today, so you need to believe it's truth. If not, I highly encourage you to go read your own Bible. Because here's the truth. God's not going to judge you according to the truth I told you. Because if you get to heaven and God's like, man, why did you believe that theology? Well, that's what my pastor said. God could clearly say this. It's not in the Bible. How do you guys know what I'm saying to you is true? Go read your Bible and prove me right. Okay, so here it is. So Ephesians 6:14 says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Man, I can just picture Paul in a prison with all these Roman soldiers and seeing this. And he looks up and he goes, oh my gosh, we need truth in our life. And he starts writing what it is, because these Roman soldiers in this day, they would put this buckle of truth around them, and it did a couple things. One, when they were ready to advance, they could take and they could put their garment inside their, because their robes were kind of long and flowy, so they would tuck them up and put them in their belt, and they could quickly advance then and move forward. I have a question. In your life where you're moving forward, wouldn't you like to know that you're moving forward with truth on your side? Isn't it obvious when you don't have full truth that you're slow to actually move forward? And here's the, I always try to think of examples. This one was very simple. We here at Navigation Church currently are under contract to sell both buildings and all 9 acres on this property. Actually, we were supposed to close September of this year, but now it's next year. And every time we go to move forward with looking at land, picking out a building, talking about loans, no loans, we're going to do debt-free, not debt, and all that, there's a part of me that is slow to move forward because I'm not sure the buyer is always truthful to us. Does that make sense? But yet I want to move forward, but because I'm relying on something that I'm not sure is true, but then all of a sudden I get reminded by both pastors on staff, our building isn't relying upon him, it's upon God. God has called us to do this. God has set us up to do this. So every time I'm not moving forward in a God thing, that's probably because my eyes are believing what I'm seeing, not understanding what the Spirit's calling me to. But if you don't have all the truth in you, and you want to try to start advancing forward, and you want to step forward here, but you feel like everyone that you've been talking to is lying to you, you're slow to move forward. But guess what's the awesome thing? When you decide to take the belt of truth of who Jesus Christ is, his kingdom, his gospel, and wrap it around you, now you move forward with advancing speed. How many are ready to move in some places in your life with some advancing speed? You have dreams out there that you've been waiting for. You have desires that you've been longing for. But yet you find yourself stumbling all over your garment. Guess what? When you have the belt of truth around you and you know what you've been called to, now it's a matter of time for you just to do it. So I want to encourage you to tuck in your cloak and go. And then and the other thing the buckle of truth did, this is so cool. Whenever these Roman soldiers would go out and have a battle, this is where they hung their medallions. This is the battle I was in. Obviously, I survived to tell about it. And I started thinking about this belt of truth. Do you know the testimonies that I have of who Jesus Christ is and what he's done in my life is as true as they can be, and you can't take it off of me? If someone said right now that God isn't good and he's not faithful, you can't take that off of me. Because the life I have, I don't deserve. The battles that I've won, I shouldn't have. And my testimony is, you going in war, let me tell you about the battles God's already won. And it's a beautiful thing. See, sometimes we go through these battles in our life, and we go through these struggles in our life, we go through these pains in our life, and somehow we think we have to take our purple heart and hide it away. What if I tell you, I think God wants you to hang it out there for people to see. I know people that they don't mind saying, I once was addicted to, I once came out of this, I once believed this, and they're fine saying that because they're looking someone going through a war situation now, and they're going, you can trust my commands. You know why? I broke the battle lines. I don't know what you might be going through today, but can I just tell you, I think at the end of it, God wants to hang a medal on who you are. I think God wants you to be proud of that struggle and be confident of your victory. Because guess what? Once you get through that, you meet him in a way that no one can ever take away from you, and it is true as true can be. Hanging on that buckle of truth. And by the way, there's a third thing this buckle of truth did. When you go into war, you would tuck in all loose pieces so nothing could get snagged. No one could grab. Here's the best example. Here's another sports example for you. Why? Because they're doozies today. How many have ever seen in hockey something called jerseying someone? And if you haven't seen that, how many have seen Happy Gilmore when he couldn't hit the putt? And he walks up to the guy, grabs the back of his shirt, pulls it over his head, and then punches him. Okay, so the problem was he had loose clothes hanging out. And if someone gets a hold of your clothing, or can I say this, the one area of your life that you haven't tucked into truth, if you leave that one place dangling out there, the enemy will go to grab that one every single time. And when he gets a hold of it, he can pull you back. He can pull you down. He can blind you by pulling your clothes up and over your head. The buckle of truth is so that you do not have a lack of integrity. You don't have a lack of synergy in your life. You tuck every aspect of your life. Guess what? If you're a Christian and a follower of Christ, all of you has to be a follower of Christ. This is the craziest thing. In this, put on the armor of God. Nowhere does it say, and pick the pieces that fit you. There's nowhere in here that Paul says, hey, I'm going to tell you about these pieces, but all the pieces may not be for everybody. It's not in there. Here's what he says. Put on the full armor of God. Why? Because you can have a helmet of salvation, but if you got this place of sin and lust and pain dangling out there, guarantee that's what this roaring lion is coming to grab, the roaring lion. I was listening to a podcast. It's a pastor out in the San Diego area, and he said the San Diego Zoo did this study one time with lions roaring, and they found out over in Africa, the lions would come to the watering hole, sit in the tall grass, and wait for animals to come get a drink at the watering hole. The lion would then roar, which, by the way, if Satan's a roaring lion seeking who he may devour, wouldn't you just say, well, when I hear his roar, I'll run away? Like, it really bad tell, Satan, that you're coming after me. But here's what happened. The lions would roar. All the animals would run, look around, see no lions. So they'd come back to the watering hole. Then the lions would roar again, and they would go a little, turn around and go, there's nothing here. About a third time, the lions would roar, and at best, animals would look around. The fourth time, there was no roar. There was just death. You know, when we leave something out here for the enemy, the first time you hear that roar and you don't get caught and it doesn't destroy you and it doesn't kill you and you're not addicted to it, here's what we think. Oh, we got away with it. Then you hear the roar again and you take a step back and go, well, I'm good. I can leave this hanging out of my girdle of truth. I can leave this thing hanging out there. It's not killing me. I avoided trouble. But then when you don't hear the roar or all the warning signs, that's when the enemy comes in and he gets you. I don't know. I'm just going to say this. There's somebody here today. There has to be. That you have been flirting with disaster. And I don't want to try to label that. I don't try to minimize that. I don't want to try to make that specific. But there's an area in your life that you know this is not the place that I need to be coming getting a drink from. These aren't the other animals. These aren't the friends that I should be hanging out with. If everybody knew what I was actually doing, I'd be quite embarrassed by it. And I'm just letting you know now, today is your roar that you need to hear. And you run. You run for your life. Because the last thing that we want to know and we want to see and I want to hear about is that you just kept going back and leaving the one piece of your garment hanging out, and that's what the enemy was able to get a hold of and drag you down. And here's what he wants to do. He doesn't want to inconvenience you. He doesn't want to put you out. He wants to kill you. And the last person that's going to know that you're in trouble is you. Because the greatest, you know, the enemy doesn't want to change your mind. He wants to confuse your mind. He wants to have you have spatial disorientation. Because go all the way back to the garden, the number one tool that he uses is to deceive and confuse. He didn't tell Adam and Eve, God didn't say that. He said, didn't God actually say this? The problem is, truth is what truth is, but if we allow ourselves to get disoriented, if we allow ourselves to get turned around, if we don't allow ourselves to fly straight by having these external points of references in order to live our life by, the enemy will come in and he'll try to twist what truth is and deceive you. And the reason he's trying to deceive you is so that your garment falls out, and when your garment falls out, he has something to grab a hold of. In your life today, the question that I would have for you is this. If I were to just pause and ask the Holy Spirit to talk to you And I'd ask this question. Where's the one place in your life that you know what you believe isn't what the Bible says, but you've been unwilling to change? What's that thought that pops in? And if one did, now the question comes is God wrong or are you wrong? Next question I'd have is this. What part of your life is hanging out waiting for the enemy to grab? And we need to know that all of us have this. Where's the place in your life you need to get it tucked in so that you can advance the way that God has called you to, and you can hang your awards on your buckle because of the victories he's seen you through? You know, the first step in all of our lives is to understand that God is good and he wants to girdle us with truth. And the very first truth I want to tell you all about is chapters 1 through 3 of Ephesians. The truth is that we all deserve death, hell, and the grave, but there was a man named Jesus Christ who came and died on our behalf. Embrace that truth. By the way, when we get it, we love him more. That's what that prayer was that we read in Ephesians 1 this morning. Man, if we understand this truth, we love you more. And possibly you're here today, someone invited you, you're watching us online, and you've been tuning in, you've been checking us out, but you don't know if this God thing is for you. I just want to say, I want everyone today to understand that you are able to put on the full armor of God. In the weeks to come, I'm going to explain fully what that even means, because it's God's armor. I'd like to say that Paul was original there, but he wasn't. He jacked it from Isaiah, because Isaiah told us what the full armor of God is. So we'll talk about that in weeks to come. But if you're here today and you don't believe the truth of who Jesus Christ is, I want to give you an opportunity to say, you know what, today I believe it. And today I've been in a battle and my weapons haven't been working. I need to try something new. So could I ask this? Could I just ask everyone, close your eyes, bow your heads? And this is so that you and I, the individual, can have a conversation without you feeling like, oh, everyone's seeing what I'm doing. No, no one's looking. But if you're here today and you feel like I've been talking to you and you've been in the middle of a battle and the weapons of your warfare, they haven't been working for you, and you're ready to try something new on, if you hear about a man named Jesus that he died for you, and you're in your heart's beating right now, your head doesn't fully understand it, but there's something about this that you're just saying yes, yes to it, I'm going to ask you, do you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And if you do, if you could do this, just simply raise your hand in the air just so I can see that you've made that decision. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Praise God. Man, I see those hands up all over the place, people committing their life to God. So if you're online right now, there's probably a tab that popped up to ask you if you've received Jesus. Please click on that. We want to celebrate with you. And if you would, could everybody, so many hands, could everybody say this prayer with me? Dear Jesus, today I believe in an absolute truth, and that is you. That you died for my sins, but you rose again, and you are the Savior of the world. Now, save my world. Forgive me of my sins. Become Lord of my life. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for all the hands of those that committed their life maybe for the first time or recommitted their life for a second time or third time. It doesn't matter. There's times we come back to embrace the truth of who you are. And today, God, we embrace that truth. But I also pray right now for anyone who wanted to raise their hand to say this, part of my garment's hanging out. Part of who I am, my character, isn't fully integrated into my life, and the enemy has a full grip on it. I pray right now in the name of Jesus, all those places that you are being pulled down, held back, I pray for freedom from it right now in the name of Jesus. I pray for if you're here today and you've been frustrated with life, you've been frustrated with where you're at, you feel like you're defeated, I pray for victory to be your portion. I pray that one day you stand on the podium of Christ where he medals you with another victory that you can proudly show the world around you. I pray for deliverance in these areas. If you agree with that, if you needed that, can you just say amen? Amen.